Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the quarterly EN conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded November 17th, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Rob Pass. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. We have a lot of information to go over, and we are thankful that you were able to join us and take the time out of your busy schedules. I'm Robert Pass from Ordez, and I've got a couple things I'd like to go over with you as we get into today's call. So without further ado, many of you, or most of you, probably saw, hopefully saw, our email notification regarding the executive changes here within SSA and Ordez. David Weaver, who was serving as our associate commissioner, has left SSA for a position in the Congressional Budget Office. That occurred in the middle of October. Susan Wilski, who is my counterpart for the research and demonstration side of the organization, is the acting associate commissioner. And SSA is currently in the process of conducting a search for a replacement for David. We will have more news on that as it becomes available, but that process is underway right now. In the meantime, Jeff Heminer, who is was a manager on our research and demonstration side, has stepped into Susan's position as the deputy associate commissioner while Susan takes over David's former role. So hopefully this transition, it should be a seamless process for you in terms of the effect it will have on you on a day-to-day basis. You should not notice any change at all. It's business as usual for us, and we continue to move forward organizationally. Susan could not be here today to introduce herself to you directly. She's in Washington, D.C. attending meetings, but we will plan to have her on a future call. So moving on to the next item in the agenda, I just wanted to touch base briefly about my participation at the National Employment Network Association conference, which was in September 2016, I should say, of this year. Time has gone really quickly, so bear with me. We had a very productive meeting, always an opportunity to meet with the employment networks who are there and present, as well as some of the VR agencies as well. The information that I covered was essentially updates regarding the program, some of which are data related, and I'm going to cover those in a minute or two, as well as updates in our various initiatives underway. And by way of discussion, I don't want to give away Gary's thunder at the end of the call today, but we are continuing to move forward with the BPQI process, and I believe we've crossed over to 20,000 BPQI threshold, which is a significant number and achievement for us organizationally, and a milestone for us. Also important for us during that meeting was for us to introduce our new SSA Operations Executive Lead, Hai Hinojosa, who works out of the San Francisco Regional Office and was able to attend in person and present to the group relative to the workload challenges that are faced by the SSA field components. Hai's region, San Francisco region, is only one region, but he was able to very adeptly capture the amount of work and the backlogs faced by the local field offices. It's obviously becoming more of an issue as we move forward. Budget-wise, SSA is challenged to provide enough resources to meet the needs of the public. And so Hai captured all of those in a very nice way. And Hai is presented during one of our previous calls, so many of you are familiar with Hai and his new role. We also introduced Melanie as our new hire and discussed Felix's transition into the DPM project manager role. And we talked a little bit about our outreach activities, which, again, I don't want to steal any of Mark's thunder, but we were able to work with HI and his regional contacts to set up meetings in the Los Angeles and Denver, the Denver region and Los Angeles area, to meet with SFA staff and Ticket to Work stakeholders, bring both sides together to make the ticket program, discuss the ticket program and make it an issue that elevated with the SFA operational staff in a way that gives them an opportunity to ask questions and get answers and become more familiar with the various stakeholders, put a name with a face and so forth. These events have been found to be very positive by the participants. VR participates, WIPA participates, the local PABs, as well as some of the local ENs and the SSA operations directors, the area managers, the local staff. So it creates a familiarity that many of you have expressed to us is badly needed when you're interacting with local SSA staff, and sometimes you find that the staff is unfamiliar. Now, the future of these meetings are relative to the availability of us getting funding, and right now we're under a continuing resolution into December. So those efforts are on hold right now, but we hope to restart those initiatives moving forward in 2017. Again, we'll have more information on that as it becomes available. So without further ado, I'm going to just talk a little bit about transition into FY17. We're in November of 2016, but the federal government fiscal year runs from September 30th through September 30th. So we pulled some data, did a little snapshot, and I want to share some information to you relative to how the ticket program is performing, comparing 9/30/2015 to 9/30/2016. In terms of the number of ticket assignments, we're at, as of 9/30/16, 58,762, and those are assigned to ENs. That's increased by 14% over the previous year from 9/30/15. The number of beneficiaries whose earnings have generated payments to ENs, as of September 2016, was at 52,932. That represents a 39% increase over the previous year. The number of beneficiaries with EN support for which payments were not paid due to earnings, that rose to 17,885 from the previous year. That's a 35% increase from the year before. And relative to the amount we've paid out in total, to ENs, that shot up quite a bit last year. We paid out $85,430,351 as of September 30th, 2016. That's a 73% increase over the year before. So I thought I would share those numbers with you. We're moving in the right direction. Everything is increased and you know, moving in the right direction. And so without further ado, I will now turn it over to Felix Stunt. Felix?
Thank you very much, Rob. Hello, everyone. This is Felix Stunt. I am the project director for the Ticket Program Manager. And I just have a brief announcement before we move on to the rest of what looks like a very packed schedule. Just wanted to let everybody know that we welcomed a new member to our leadership team a few weeks ago. Pat Van Nelson has taken over as our Director of Marketing and Communications. She's going to come in and help us as we enhance the services we're providing related to outreach to beneficiaries, related to online communications and social media activities, blog posts and success stories, so that we can increase awareness among the beneficiary population and drive, hopefully, more job-seeking people with disabilities to the doors of employment networks and both rehab agencies. She, unfortunately, also could not be here to introduce herself on the call today, but you may have heard that name before because she was the deputy project director under the BASS contract with Lee Zalin and worked under Melanie Porter, who, of course, has come on with the Social Security team. So we are very, very glad and proud to have Pat with us. If she were here, I'm sure she would say, because she said to me, that she's glad to be back. So look forward to hearing from her or about her in the future. And that's about all I have. I will turn it at this point over to Mark Green.
Thank you, Felix. Let me see how much thunder I have left after. I will address three items. One of them is not on the agenda. First, as Rob said, I, along with Carol Cohen from our staff, had the pleasure of attending a ticket partners meeting in the Denver Regional Office in the middle of September, otherwise known as the 1 week after my first grandchild was born. It was a terrific event, really exceeding my expectations. Hayan Osa presented, Carol and I both presented on our various specialties. The regional office, field office, WIPAs, ENs, PAVs, somebody all represented and presented during the day. Just to sum up and tell you what's really most important is after that conference, I cannot tell you how many people came up to Carol and me and told us what how happy they were that we got this together, that we got them together so they can hear from and meet some of the people they've been dealing with and some of the programs they just had heard about but never really any personal experience with. I sincerely hope as we move forward, as Rob said, that we can have the budget and the general wherewithal to put these meetings together in other parts of the country, and if we do, I also hope you have the opportunity to present because I think you'll get a lot out of it. Second has to do with the Work Opportunity Tax Credit, something with which I'm sure many of you are familiar. It's a federal tax credit available to employers who hire individuals from certain target groups who have, you know, target groups generally defined as people who have faced significant barriers to employment. Since 2005, Maximus has provided verification with regard to one of the target groups, which is anybody who's involved in vocational rehabilitation, which is also defined as working with an employment network. So typically, the organization that works for the Department of Labor is a state workforce agency, kind of oversees the American job centers in the state, sends in a request to Maximus, and Maximus provides free of charge verification of the individual's participation in either VR or the ticket program, and the employer is therefore eligible for the tax credit. I stress free of charge because there is another larger target group, SSI beneficiaries, for whom we were charging a fee for the state workforce agencies. They did not go to Maximus. They went to the field office, and there was somewhat of a nominal fee, but if you're an employer and you have a lot of employees and you want to check on SSI, it adds up, and it can be disadvantageous for SSI beneficiaries who are a vulnerable group to have difficulty finding work as it is. So Acting Commissioner Colvin decided earlier this year that we would waive the fee for that large target group also, and instead of sending the request to the field office, the state workforce agencies will send it again to Maximus, which will follow the same procedure and verify for those individuals. The only requirement is that person has to have been on SSI for the 2 months ending with the date of hire. This is big news. With everything else we do here, we hope to provide some incentives for employers to hire our beneficiaries and just people with disabilities in general. The third announcement, at this point of, when I present them these things, I usually say I will be happy to answer any questions. Send me an email or a phone number. I'm happy to say you can still do that. But if you want an answer, you should do that before January 3rd because after 42 years of solidly above average performance, I am retiring from Social Security on that date. It's been a pleasure to be able to work with you during that time. I wish you well in your endeavors helping people getting back to work and just generally in life. And Marjorie has a sad frown. Sorry to bring everybody down. The people didn't like me. There are plenty of you out there. So thank you for your attention again. It's been a pleasure. I'm going to turn over the agenda for a very interesting presentation on PATH. Marjorie McKeeb from our staff will introduce her. Thank you, everyone.
Hi, everybody. I'm Marjorie McKeever from the Office of Beneficiary Outreach and Employment Support, and today we're going to spend a few minutes discussing the Plan to Achieve Self-Support, or PATH. PATH is a great work incentive. I've been to so many trainings where people actually refer to it as Social Security's most powerful work incentive. On this call, I'm going to really just give you a basic overview of PATH, really just enough to whet your appetite. And hopefully you'll want to learn more about PATH and how it can help the beneficiaries you work with. And attached to your agenda, you will find a resource sheet with some links to some different resources that will help you understand PATH. And at the end, we're going to hopefully have some time for some questions as well. So what is a PATH? A PATH allows individuals receiving Social Security disability to set aside income other than SSI to purchase or save for items necessary to help them achieve a work goal. Now, by agreeing to this plan, SSI then does not count the income the individual sets aside when they calculate the individual's SSI payment. So, in other words, SSI excludes the income that the individual sets aside. An individual can also use accountable resource to set aside to help them achieve a work goal. In other words, if an individual is not eligible for SSI because of resource limitations, maybe they have a bank account that's over the SSI resource limit, they can agree to set aside those funds and use them to purchase items necessary to help them achieve a work goal. Now, what makes the PATH so special is it reflects individual choice. No two are alike. I have approved PATHs for an auto mechanic who needed to purchase tools. I've approved a PATH for someone who just needed to purchase uniforms to go to work, and I've approved a PATH for someone in law school who needed to purchase textbooks. So they are very unique and different. Now, some things you need to know about the PATH. First, the beneficiary must apply for a PATH in writing. This is not an automatic work incentive. The PATH application is the SSA 545, and there is a link to it on the resource sheet. And in the application, the beneficiary must detail the steps they will take to achieve the goal and also list the items necessary to help them reach that goal. PATH applications are then reviewed and approved by regional PATH cadres who employ PATH specialists. So these people just look at PATHs, so they're very familiar and they will work with you. The beneficiary must have a clear work or occupational goal. In other words, they can't just say, I want to go to work. It needs to be very clear. The PATH is self-financed, so again, they're putting aside their money or some sort of income they have that we would normally count against them. The goal must be feasible and viable, and by feasibility we mean based on the person's education, skills, training, that they actually have a good chance of achieving this work goal. Now, part of the PATH might address that, you know, it might have some training or some schooling in it, but it needs to make sense. Viable, what that means is the finances need to make sense. So in other words, if you have a person who's going to set aside $100 a month into a PATH bank account, they could not list on their PATH application, say, $30,000 worth of items. So it needs to make sense. It needs to add up. The time frame to complete the PATH must be reasonable. And everybody's different, and the PATH specialist will work with you on that. So if one person needs to go to dental hygienist school that's 6 months long, maybe their PATH will just be 6 months, but for another person it might be a year, depending on their particular situation. Now, one very important note about the PATH is that at the end of the PATH, the work goal should generate enough earnings to substantially reduce the beneficiary's SSI payment, or if they're on SSDI or Social Security disability only, it should generate enough income to eliminate the Social Security payment. So in other words, Social Security is investing in the beneficiary up front in the hopes that the PATH will lead to self-sufficiency or more, you know, less dependence on the Social Security check. Now, I know what I shared is a little complicated on this call, and I don't have time to get into calculations and what it looks like, but I want to give you a brief example that I think will help demonstrate the PATH. So we're going to take, for example, a client by the name of Alfred. Alfred has always dreamed of being a paralegal. So Alfred discovers that there is a paralegal certificate program at his local community college. So Alfred really thinks long and hard about how to make this happen. Alfred receives Social Security disability and SSI. So he fills out a PASS application, and he indicates that he's going to set aside his Social Security disability check to pay for the items he needs to help him achieve this goal. He identifies that he will need a monthly bus pass to get to school. He needs a laptop to do his schoolwork and to conduct research, and he needs to pay for internet. He doesn't have internet. He also realizes he's going to need a suit at the end of the pass so he can go on interviews. So Alfred submits his pass application. It's approved, and he then starts setting aside his money in his account each month, and he starts his school program. Now, what you need to understand also is that once a pass is approved, the pass cadre will still check in with the client. We call them progress reviews, and they will need to submit proof that they're working toward their goals. So Alfred will need to probably send in bank statements every 6 months to show he's making his deposits. He'll need to show a receipt that he purchased his laptop, and he'll also probably need to submit school records showing that he's in school and working towards his goal. So each person is unique and different, and each pass is different, but those are the things that Alfred would need to submit. Now, a few more tips that I want you to think about when you're working with clients who are considering pass, or if you think it might be a good idea that they enter into a pass. Pass is complicated, and it's not for everyone. So you need to know who would be a good candidate for a pass. So again, the person who just wants to go out and get a job or work part-time or go work in the drugstore down the street, that's probably not a pass. We can help that person in other ways and support them, but probably not a pass. Don't try to complete the application in one sitting. The best passes are thorough and well thought out. Don't hesitate to refer clients to the local WIPO, Work Incentive Planning and Assistance Project. Community Work Incentive Coordinators know how to work with PASS, and so if you're in over your head, reach out for help. Encourage the beneficiary to get organized. As I suggested with the Alfred example, beneficiaries will need to keep track of their bank statements, receipts, and other documents. And lastly, if you are assisting someone with a pass, please have them sign the SSA 3288 so that you can help them with the pass, and also provide your contact information directly on the pass application. Now, we are fortunate enough today to have Matthew Angel, who is the director of the Supported Employment Services of the Mental Health Association of South Central Kansas. Matthew is going to share some real-life experiences with PASS. Matthew?
Yes, good afternoon. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can, Matthew.
Great. I wanted to share a couple different PASS programs that we've done in the past and kind of just share the success stories that we've had. It is a very responsible program. It's a program that helps out many people achieve long-term successes with employment. And just to kind of get into things, we have one lady that she utilized the PASS program for a vehicle. The PASS program is excellent for this type of purchase due to the fact that it's most of the time it's a huge barrier to find or to sustain long-term employment in the community, but it's not the main reason why people apply for the PASS program. But this lady, to achieve long-term employment, she needed to alleviate the barrier of transportation. So what we did here at MHA is we got together with this lady. We got together with the local WIPA, and we all sat down to kind of determine like a plan. What would be the best plan for her to obtain a vehicle so she could eventually gain long-term employment? While she was going through the process of the PASS account, she was able to obtain part-time employment that helped her save up income for a vehicle. This lady hasn't driven for probably, I want to say, 20 years. She hasn't had a vehicle or a license. Through the PASS program, not only did she write her PASS for items that are associated with transportation and a vehicle, she wrote it for, you know, things that would help her along and ensure the success obtaining the vehicle and getting to and from employment. So what she did is she wrote in there the pass account. She wrote in driver's education school. She wrote in ways that she could obtain car insurance for in a period of time to ensure her success. She also wrote in what she could comfortably set aside into the PASS program so she can save up for this vehicle so she could obtain long-term employment. She probably spent a little more time than typical. She probably spent about a year saving up for this vehicle. Through work and through money that she set aside in the PASS program, after 20 years, she was able to go purchase her vehicle, and with that, she was also able to seek out other employment in the community. She had worked for part-time for a pizza chain here in town, and through the PASS program, she was able to gain the independence she needed, and not only the independence for employment, but also the independence just for her day-to-day living. She didn't have to rely on public transportation to get to and from appointments. She didn't have to rely on public transportation. She didn't have to think about whether she's going to be late to work or not. So she's recently been able to move up from part-time employment at a pizza company, looking for more full-time work in the community, all because she was able to write her PASS account and all because she was able to set aside money in order to ensure her success. At MHA, we have several other people that utilize their PASS accounts for education purposes as well. Paying for, hygienist school or paying for schooling for cosmetology school, something to that effect, something that an individual may not have funds to set aside. Through a PASS program, they're able to set aside those funds and able to succeed with their goals. Another individual that we have a success story is that this gentleman came into our services with nothing. He was able to identify that he would like to go to work. He was able to get on Social Security, and he was able to get housing. He had worked as a custodial for an extended period of time and identified a long time ago that he wants to drive full-time for an organization, whether that be medical transportation or whether that be our city transit. That's his ultimate goal. This gentleman also hadn't driven in numerous years. So something for him to succeed for his long-term goals, was to become a city transit operator. And he was able to ride his PASS program in order so he could learn how to drive. He was able to ride his PASS program to alleviate the barrier of getting to and from employment through purchasing a car. And this gentleman also, through some hard work and through his PASS program, was able to alleviate the barrier of purchasing a car. Along with all these things, it's a very responsible program. They have to keep their receipts. They have to report to Social Security and report to their PASS cadre their progress with their PASS program. The PASS program can only be used for the intended purposes contracted through Social Security. Each one of those purchases has to be accompanied by a receipt. It has to be turned in. It has to already be pre-approved on the PASS program. This gentleman also put in items to ensure his success, such as being able to keep track of his bank account so he can keep track of his PASS income, so he can keep track of, what's been spent, what's not. So he was able to identify that he would need a tablet and also internet usage. He needed this in order to keep track of his PASS account. He needed this in order to keep track of his day-to-day funds, so he would not put himself in a position where he would have to owe back any money. Like I said, it's a very responsible activity, but it is extremely rewarding to everyone involved.
Thank you, Matthew. Operator, we'd like to open up the call for a few questions, if there are any. At this time, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1. There are no audio questions at this time.
Great. Thank you. And thank you so much, Matthew.
And as before we turn it over to Kara, I saw that she's going to talk a bit about the site visits, and I thought that was a nice tie-in with Matthew's presentation because I met Matthew while we conducted a site visit this year, and it was during that visit that Matthew discussed his tremendous success using PASS. And I asked Matthew at the site visit if he'd be willing to share. So I want to thank Matthew for sharing that information. It's a very powerful tool that ENs can use. And I find many times some ENs are not familiar or there may be somewhat of a disconnect with PASS and the ticket program. And this is an effort to try to make PASS, provide more information on PASS and illustrate its effectiveness as a tool for use by the ENs. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and kick it over to Kara.
Good afternoon. I will be brief. This past summer, our office visited over 40 employment networks. And currently, we did tell you guys when we were on these site visits that you will have reports. We are about 80% finished with those. Over the next couple of months, those who did not get them will get them. If anybody has any questions about your site visit report, please contact me. My information is on the report. Overall, the site visits went very well. We were very well received. We appreciate all your hospitality. Some of them, there was corrective action, and most of the corrective actions, just so all of the ENs know, because we are doing quarterly progress reports on this now, it was a suitability. So I can't press enough how important it is that all of your employees who have access to beneficiaries and PEII need to be suitable. It's not just one person within the organization. It's everybody who has access to PII. That is a law, and there's really no way we can get around that. That is it for me. I will pass it over to you, Mike.
Well, thank you, Kara. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Mike Greenberg. I want to give you a really brief update on the status of the 2015 edition of the Ticket to Work Beneficiary Satisfaction Survey. For those of you who are fairly new to the program, a satisfaction survey is required to be conducted periodically by the agency, and it serves as really the source of program-wide data from beneficiaries about their Ticket to Work experiences with their employment networks. This edition of the survey, the fielding of this survey began September 16th, where we mailed postcards to those beneficiaries who were selected to participate in the survey, and we offered them the opportunity to complete the survey online. Those who did not respond to the online invitation began receiving mailed paper surveys on October 3rd and again another mailing to non-responders on October 24th. The official collection period of the survey will close on November 30th. Beneficiaries who've yet to respond may continue to respond, whether they choose to respond by mail or go online. The survey will remain open until the 30th of November. Once the collection period ends, you know, we'll go into the mode of analyzing the data, cleaning and scrubbing it, and then preparing to develop the survey report. If any of your clients have received a survey and they're not sure whether to respond, a number of you are encouraging your clients to respond. We want to emphasize in our appreciation and encourage you to continue to encourage them to respond. The feedback is really important to the program, and it's important, to you as employment networks. We have been posting reminders that the survey is open and that the survey will be closing on the 30th. We post reminders through our social media sites 2 times a week. We'll continue to post those reminders until the 30th. We've also posted a reminder on the Choose Work site. But once again, if you take that opportunity to encourage your clients, if they have not already responded, please do. That's the status to date. I will turn over the program to whoever is covering virtual job fair today.
Hello, that will be me. This is Anna Morales, and we are in the process of tracking employment outcomes resulting from the 3 completed Social Security virtual job fairs that were held on November 18 and 19 of 2015 and March 16 and August 24th of 2016. And as a quick recap, in total between the 3 events, we have 759 beneficiaries that attended. The ticket assignments for these beneficiaries represented 150 service providers, including 109 employment networks and 41 VR agencies, and we also had 54 employers. A large part of this attendance resulted from the recent August 24 event, the one that had more beneficiaries participating as well as the service providers. As part of an effort to collect these outcomes, we have outreach to beneficiaries, employers, and this week we started the outreach to service providers. We are asking for your assistance to track any employment activity that may have resulted from this event. We are sending a message by secure email to all the employment networks and VR agencies who had assigned beneficiaries in one or more of the virtual job fairs. And the email contains information about these beneficiaries and asks some questions regarding the post-job fair employment activities, including interviews or new jobs. So we will continue this outreach until November the 30th, and we appreciate your assistance providing the information to the EN Development Consultants. And with that, I am turning now to Adele Bass.
Thank you very much, Anna, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. As Anna mentioned, this is Adele Barr with the Ticket Program Manager, and today I'll speak to you about Blackboard, our learning management system. So TPM will be launching the next phase of the Blackboard implementation. In the first phase, we launched Blackboard Collaborate, which is the platform that we are currently using for this call, and from what we can tell so far, it is a success. Now, in the second phase, we will launch Blackboard Learn. We plan for this to happen end of February, beginning of March, which is the same week. And I'll tell you a little bit about what to expect with Blackboard Learn. Existing service providers will be able to take advantage of self-paced e-learning modules, valuable resources, and refresher courses. This will allow for employees of existing service providers to retrain and refresh themselves on any of the subjects covered during orientation training. So with that, I will tell you that Blackboard Learn is for all of the ENs. It's not strictly just for new ENs, but it will help you train any staff members that maybe you feel that needs retraining, or a new staff member, not necessarily during the EN, but someone new, and have them go over the courses. Now, in preparation for the launch, we will be conducting a training session. So So please look for a Gov delivery message in the beginning of the new year. And we would like to take this time to also thank all of the service providers that have submitted their learning management system point of contact, or affectionately known as the LMS POC. To complete the second phase of the Blackboard implementation, I'm here to ask that you submit LMS POC by the end of next week, by COB on Friday, November 25th, because this will help us complete the second phase so that we can add all of the names to the system. So if you can submit those, again, by next Friday, November 25th, by emailing tpmtraining@yourtickettowork.com. And if we do not receive an LMS POC from your organization by next Friday, by default, we will have the primary contact of your organization be appointed as the LMS POC. That's what I have today for you. Thank you for your time. I will turn it over to Katie Streibinger for systems updates.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to make you aware of something that SSA is investigating. The ticket portal, on rare instances, is incorrectly allowing ticket assignments to occur when the beneficiary is not in current pay status. These are invalid assignments, and SSA will be removing these assignments from the record after we resolve the issue that is causing this problem. In the meantime, if you submit a payment request for a beneficiary whose case was incorrectly assigned, please be aware that your payment will be denied. When you submit your payment request, our payment staff reviews the ticket assignment, does a QA process, and if they discover that the beneficiary was not in current pay at the time of the assignment, they will deny the payment. We will continue to keep you updated on this issue, and once we have it resolved, we will send you a Gov delivery message with the next steps. Thank you for your time. I'm going to give it next to Gary on the proof of concept update.
Thank you, Katie. So I wanted to report, as you may know, our office is operating three separate proofs of concept right now. The first one is the BPQY proof of concept, and to revisit some thunder that Rob already stole, actually produced as of yesterday 20,582 BPQYs. Or responded to that number of requests. We've been able to fill 18,860, 1,423 of them. We did deny because of something that was incorrect in the request, or forms weren't complete or whatever. And of that total, only 376 had to be referred to field office for some kind of additional action on their part. Since the beginning of the proof of concept, we're running at 4.2 days, but that also includes some time in there that when the BPQY application itself was down temporarily. So in the last 6 months, we've been somewhere just under 2 days processing time for the BPQYs. The next thing that I wanted to address is the wage reporting proof of concept. This is where we're going to have our payment specialists from Maximus who get verified wages from ENs. Who are either requesting payment themselves or just sending us verified wages, pay stubs, or work numbers for clients. We have already begun the pilot part of this proof of concept, and we actually just at this point have one individual doing it. We're working through some issues that relate to access off-site and using one of SSA's applications inside the firewall. So we will be extending this to the other payment specialists who are located off-site. But At this point, as of 11:15, we had completed 12 unique work reports and had added 131 pay stubs to existing work reports for 18 other beneficiaries. So we are making progress on this. It'll be some time before we actually have data, comparative data. But as soon as we get the access issues resolved, we will be extending this. Right now, we're only utilizing two ENs for this, but everything has been working as it was designed to work in that context, so we don't expect to have any difficulties as we expand this. And the third proof of concept is the EN marketing proof of concept. So we had 22 agencies that were participating in the first phase of this. We have sent data files to 14 of those 22. Two are either ready to be released, I think, or one or two of those already were. Two more that are in the process, and only four of them remaining to be done. This has taken us quite a bit of time because, as you may understand, we are individually creating customized files for ENs who are participating in this. And once we get all of the groups, all of the entities, their initial files, we will be beginning a periodic distribution of new files on an ongoing basis. So we have, so far we've had no glitches with it, and we're very small ones that we've been able to overcome quite quickly. So far so good. And that is my overview. I think at this point, operator, we're going to open this up for general questions about any of the topics that have been covered. And if that's not correct, somebody correct me.
At this time, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Press star 1. There are no questions at this time.
All right. Thank you. So at this point, we will conclude the call. I want to thank everybody, all the participants, with the information provided. I wanted to add to Gary's point about the marketing POC. That particular effort, as the others are as well, is particularly labor-intensive because we have one person that is building our data files for each of these requests, and they take a while to put together and run. So please keep that in mind moving forward. But I just, aside from that, want to thank everybody for their time. It looks like our next call will be February 16th, 2017, so please mark your calendars.
I'll do that.
And, Mark will be in Hawaii. But I want to thank Mark, who is 43. I didn't know Mark started 42 years. Mark started work at SSA when he was 10 years old, apparently.
That's my line.
Best of luck to Mark in his future endeavors. We thank him for all of his years of outstanding public service. We're going to miss him dearly.
Rob, let me jump in just a second. This is Gary again. Mark is my deputy, and when I came into this program, I, believe it or not, knew even less than I do now. But everything that I've learned that's been constructive in working with this program, I owe most of that to Mark. So I personally am going to miss Mark quite a bit, and I'm sure many others of you will as well. So thank you, Mark, for everything that you've done for the program and for helping me to be able to do what I've done so far. So thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Well said, Gary. Thanks very much. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and conclude. Thank you all very much for joining us.
That does conclude tonight's conference call. You may now disconnect.